Hare Krishna. What do you think, Paul? Isn't this a wonderful, most wonderful glimpse into the beauty of Vrindavan? Ananda Mohini, what is your idea? It's overwhelming, isn't it? Heart soothing. Let me now ask you, do you all hear me or should you move a little closer? Maybe a little closer. Hare Krishna. You can see at this moment there are many parrots who fly around, and their services are highly essential, because at this moment Krishna returns home, and many individual messages need to be carried. In one Nandadas, one poet describes, as Krishna returns home, all the gopis throw flower petals on him. And then all these flower petals, you will find that they have written individual messages to the many, many millions of gopis. Many millions of gopis have written their private letter to Krishna on a flower petal. And as these flower petals touch the beautiful body of Krishna, he becomes aware of the question of each gopi. For instance, a question like this: will we be separated eternally? So Krishna, while coming with his cows home, will then run to that gopi who asked this question and says, no. I find this particular insight into Krishna Leela very important. All the different gopis, Nandarani Priya, have their particular letter with questions to Krishna, and all these questions are answered by Krishna individually. I think this brings to mind how Prabhupada said Krishna's telephone line is never busy. He always is there for each single one of his devotees to answer their question and to take care. Now, as we have described in at other times, for the devotees of Krishna, this is the magical time. Why is it magical? Because Shri Krishna now comes down, comes back. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very, very much. You are an angel. Thank you. Oh, thank you. So, Krishna is just returning. And it is now where the devotees of Krishna who were burning in the Viraha Agni, the fire of separation from Krishna, will be soothed by the beautiful darshan of the monsoon cloud colored Krishna, who will, like a monsoon cloud, extinguish the fire in the hearts of each of Krishna's devotees, a fire of separation, burning alive in them as if it would be a fire within a tree which robs the life force of that particular tree. So Krishna, the monsoon colored Krishna, comes now home, and he brings with him a shower, wonderful, very good. Best light possible. Thank you very much. Krishna will bring now a fire, will extinguish the fire of separation. This is why it's a magical moment. We know, of course, from Brihad Bhagavatamrita that it is at this time where Gokumar, the soul who searches for Krishna, the prototype, returns to Vrindavan. He finds at this moment all the people in Vrindavan town, but they have one problem. They can't speak and answer his questions because their mind has gone with Krishna, and a body without a mind can't ask questions and can't talk. So Gop Kumar asked them, where is Krishna? And they are not able to answer the question. Finally he meets an old man and asks him, where is my Krishna? And the man just points in this direction. So Gop Kumar goes in the direction which is pointed out to him. And as he walks through Vrindavan, he sees the river Jamuna, which all of a sudden stops and turns around with big force and flowing backward. As he looks into the direction, he sees a cloud coming, a cloud of dust, and he sees actually, he doesn't see anything. He hears the flute of Lord Krishna playing. And he becomes maddened in transcendental ecstasy. The flute is the way how Krishna draws the soul to him. So Gop Kumar runs and runs and runs, and then he sees in the dust cloud, which is there because of the hoofs of the cows, he sees Krishna. Krishna becomes aware of him and starts running to Gop Kumar, and they meet halfway, and Krishna then takes his hand and takes the dust of Gop Kumar's body and asks, where were you so long? How could you bear to be separated from me for so long? Then he becomes overwhelmed with the ecstasy of meeting Gop Kumar, that he begins to cry, embrace Gop Kumar around the neck. Gop Kumar also embraces him, and both of them fall in the dust. Krishna, however, faints. Only the tears are coming from his eyes, and they transform the dust of Vrindavan into mud. Like now, where the rain was there, the path is muddy. Vrindavan becomes muddy by the tears of love of Bhagavan, who finds how Jai Radhe returns, how the devotee returns. Anyone, I just mentioned Jai Radhe, but any one of us, Radhe, Radhe, welcome, most welcome. So, it is said that the devotee of Krishna wants to hear this beautiful Leela, a Leela where Krishna shows how he reacts when finally the soul returns. Krishna is overwhelmed with happiness. Krishna is in a similar way waiting for everyone, and he will become overwhelmed with happiness when Paul returns. Wow! So all the cowherd boys by now have caught up with Krishna, who lies in the mud, and the gopis have also run out of their homes, and they see that Krishna fell down on the ground when he embraced Gop Kumar. They misunderstand the situation. They think this must be a demon who has brought problems to our Gopal. So they are just thinking what they should do. Should they attack Gop Kumar? When Balaram says, no, everything is alright. Krishna is just overwhelmed because of pleasure, because of joy. This is a little bit what takes place at this time of the day. Krishna comes from Govardhan and moves towards Vrindavan, and for sure he will pass by this road on the side of the Govinda Kund. There's a very nice description which I would like to read to you, which describes Krishna walking through Vrindavan. But as I'm talking, I want to also greet our new guests and worship them because you're Vaishnavas. Do you need a mosquito repellent, or is everything all right? Mosquito repellent. You got some. This is, but your arm might fall off after you take it. It's really strong. No, it shatters. Yeah. There's a beautiful poem by Gagacharya. It says, may Lord Krishna protect you all. He slowly brought the calves and cows with him. It did not leave the path. How does Krishna look? Well, Krishna had the glance of a lion. His playfulness was like a baby elephant. In other words, Krishna's eyes go left and right, and he dances, and he's very playful. His eyes were lotus petals. All the gopis looked at him. Krishna was decorated with the cow's dust. Krishna, you must imagine, is so blackish, but now the white dust of Vrindavan is all over his beautiful body. From time to time a servant comes and wipes the dust off his body. Krishna also wears a garland out of lotus flowers, and the lotus flowers are very delicate, so the dust can't be removed from the lotus flowers. So they beautify the lotus flower, and although there is another servant who always has a new lotus flower, which he carries in a damp white cloth, like Raja Leela's white cloth is very suitable for carrying garlands. And Krishna doesn't accept the new garlands, but wants to wear the dust-covered garland. Why? Because Radharani made that garland with her own hands, and Krishna doesn't want to give up this particular Radha garland. Wonderful. So Krishna had handsome black hair, and sometimes Krishna would take his hand like this and throw the hair back. He wore golden armlets. Armlets are here around the arm. He has a glorious crown, and from his large eyes constantly arrows were being shot. These arrows were crooked glances from the large eyes. And these eyes were so large that they seemed to touch his ears. When you have darshan of our deity Shri Radha Kanhaiya Lal, you will see Ruth, big eyes. This means when Krishna has big eyes, he is very merciful towards his devotees. It is said Krishna has this potency in the eyes that wherever he glances with his eyes, these eyes give life. For instance, when the cowherd boys drank the poisoned water of the Kaliya, they were lying down dead. It took Krishna only a glance to revive them. He came there, Sharadiya, and he looked at his dear friend. And it said, from the corners of his eyes, Krishna always looks sideways like this, the special Shakti which revived the cowherd boys was emanating and giving them life. Krishna also looks at the food of his devotees, which the devotees offer, like this here, from Radha Raman. Yes, and by looking at the food which devotees offer, Krishna gives life into this food and makes it and turns it into living food, spiritual living food. That's the power of his eyes, to give life. Therefore the devotees pray to Krishna, oh Krishna, may you throw your sidelong glance in our direction. Huh? That's what the devotees wish. Krishna has a yasmin garland, which was also decorated with cow's dust. Well, on our day, he has a lotus garland. He wears the whirl of a blossomed lotus on his ear. In other words, the lotus is over his ears. Then he wears yellow garments. He plays on his flute, and he removes the earth's great burden. So this is the beautiful, this is the wonderful way Krishna appears as he returns to the people of Vrindavan. He returns as a playful lord who shoots arrows of glances from his eyes, which don't kill but which revive. He extinguishes the viraha agni, the fire of separation in the heart of the devotees, which burns them stronger than the fire in the stomach burns. And Krishna is showered. I find this so wonderful that I have to do it again. Krishna is showered by a rain of flower petals like this. And on each flower petal there is a message for him, a special call for his kindness and attention. And Krishna answers this message by personally getting back to each one of the gopis and answering them. This is a Krishna's wonder. Therefore this is a magical moment, because at this moment Krishna returns. Krishna comes into our heart. There is also a nice verse which I wanted to read to you. Amongst those who receive Krishna is Srimati Radharani. But because there are so many elderly people, she doesn't dare to meet Krishna in person. When Krishna comes this path, Radha is hiding in a bush, and looks from the bush at Krishna, and showers Krishna in her loving glances. At that, this moment, a small maidservant of Krishna, of Radha, called a Manjari, takes Radha by the wrist and pulls her out of the bush right into the pathway of Krishna. And Radha is very shy, and she outwardly protests by saying, "What are you doing? I cannot, I cannot, I cannot." But inside of her heart she says, "Well done, clever Manjari, very well done. This is the best service you could do." So then Radha stands before Krishna, and Krishna stands before Radha, and as they look at each other, they become stunned, like dolls on the pathway of Vrindavan. Radha and Krishna stand before each other, unable to move. So much love, unable to move. They just look at each other with eyes and with glances laden with love, and they cannot speak. And then, at one moment, the cowherd boys see Krishna standing like this before Radha, and they laugh. And this laughter of his little cowherd boy friends brings Krishna back into his cowherding mood. And then he continues to go into the wonderful village of Vrindavan. Now Radha Rani's feelings are described in this beautiful, beautiful prayer, fearing that the respectable elders will chastise you, O Radha. You will go alone towards your home, greatly troubled. As you walk along, you will search in your mind for an excuse to turn one more time around and one more time look at beautiful Krishna. Now another clever Manjari understands the sentiments of Radha's heart, and she will remain intentionally somewhat behind Srimati Radharani and will look in the direction of Krishna as if something was lost on the path. Now Srimati Radharani sees that this little Manjari is not with her at this moment, and this gives her a reason to turn around where the little Manjari is and one more time look at Krishna, on the pretext of calling her Manjari, "Hey, come little one, come little one." She looks another time at Krishna, who again becomes totally stunned. Yes. These are the times, the beautiful times in which we now live. Usually we say we live in bad times, economic crisis and misunderstanding. But now you live in good times, Ekavira. You live right next to the pathway where Krishna returns home as the sun begins to set on the western horizon. Now, how do the cows and the bulls and the calves react with Krishna? We have heard that Krishna is very much in love with them and takes care of them. Well, there is one member of Krishna's cow and bull family whom I want to introduce this evening to you. He is my favorite member of Krishna's cows, and it's a bull called Padmaganda, the one who smells like a lotus flower. This is the name of this bull. All glories to Sri Krishna's bull, who is known as Padmaganda. His horns are very attractive because they are decorated with gold. If you can imagine, there are the horns and they are covered with gold. And on the gold there are jewels. Padmaganda's hooves are most charming, and the hooves are effulgent like the blue sapphire. Padmaganda has also a saffron necklace which swings to and fro as he walks in very majestic movements. He looks like an old sannyasi who moves very slow and very majestically, and like a white cloud also, who moves very slow on the sky. See, Krishna lovingly and very attentively feeds tender grass and leaves to the beautiful cars of Braj, and he scratches the bodies of the calves. Oh, I desire to see these calves of Sri Krishna jump. This is what the devotee desires, that one day the calves and the bull of Krishna will come into his vision. A little while ago, when we were on Govardhan Parikrama, we saw one beautiful cow. It was the best of cows, coming towards us on the inner path of Govardhan Parikrama. And I remember, I said in my mind, I know you are not an ordinary cow. You are the cow of Krishna. This moment the cow turns toward me and goes as if the cow wanted to confirm my speculation. And this again reminded me of what a friend of mine told me a few days earlier. This friend does 2 Govardhan Parikramas a day, each day of the year. And he described to me that the day before we talked, he saw an unusual sight here on the opposite side of Giriraj. He saw a cow, but now listen to this. This cow went to a Giriraj, Shila. And then, as the cow stood over the Shila, spontaneously, milk started to flood out of the 4 pipes of the udder on top of the Giriraj. And this friend of mine said, can it be true? Or am I only imagining this? And he pulled the appropriate places to stay away. But he continued to see that this cow was the best of servants. It served Giriraj. I just imagine this. So, there's the beautiful scenes are described. When little Krishna would crawl through the dust of Vrindavan, he would also approach the powerful bulls, beginning with Padmaganda. And Padmaganda, seeing little baby Krishna crawling at him, looked at him, mesmerized, with tears of love in his eyes. Then, as he saw the waves of beauty coming out of baby Krishna's body, he was so ecstatic that he began to swing his head, like you see bulls do, back and forth. And little baby Krishna came and crawled and captured his horns, and then with great effort, his Padmaganda was standing like this and stopping his movement, began to come up to his little feet. Beautiful, isn't it, Anandamayini? This is what happens. Mm. Krishna very, very much loves these cows and also the calves. We hear in the Bhagavatam that Lord Krishna would even like to drink their milk. And what he did is he often approached the calves and let them out of their little fenced-in area. At the time when the cows were milked and the calves began to run towards the mothers, the cows, and the mothers thought, oh no, if the calves get them to the mothers and drink all the milk, how will we prepare milk preparations? So they all ran out of the house and left their doors open, which was exactly what Krishna needed. He went through the open doors of the house. It was only a trick to get everyone out of the house and then stole the butter in the house. And in this way, Krishna would do his pastimes. Now the gopis were externally very angry, but internally they praised the Creator. Krishna has gone to our houses and he has stolen the butter. That means he has accepted our loving offerings. Because you must know, as the gopis prepared the butter from the milk, they chanted all the time this song from Bilva Mangala Thakur, Govinda Damodara Manaveti, 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 like this they chanted. And they thought, when will Govinda come and steal my butter? This is the success of my butter making. Once Mother Yashoda said to Krishna, Krishna, we have heard reports that you are becoming a criminal, a thief. You are stealing the butter from the houses of the gopis. If you continue doing this, then later your character will be spoiled and you will start stealing chariots and ox carts and other more heavy things. So then little Gopal answered in a very silent way, just whispering, Mother, I can't stop stealing. I will say it loud, Mother, I can't stop stealing. Krishna would say, Mother, I can't stop stealing. He was very sure about not being able to stop stealing, because how can Krishna stop accepting the love of his devotees? Huh? That's not possible. Krishna wants the love of his devotees. So, then it's described that the cows also love Krishna very much. Especially, they love the sweetness of Krishna's flute. Sukadev Goswami describes what happens when the calves are drinking the milk from their mother's udder, but at the same time hear Krishna's flute. They come in a conflict of interest. What should they give more attention to? The milk or Krishna's flute? It's a conflict of interest. So Sukadev Goswami describes, using their upraised ears as vessels. Vessels means like cups. The cows are drinking the nectar of the flute song coming out of Krishna's mouth. Now the cows go like this. Ears are normally like this, and then they go like joop, like this, to not even waste one drop. The calves have their mouth full of the milk from their mother's moist nipples, but they stand still as they take Govinda within themselves through their tear-filled eyes and embrace him within their hearts. So, as the calves started to drink the milk from their mother's udder, Krishna started to play his flute, and the calves were not able to continue drinking any longer. The milk just ran out of their mouth, and they couldn't swallow the milk which was in their mouth down, because they were so much stunned by Krishna's flute song and gave more importance to Krishna's flute song than to the milk of their mothers. This is biologically very remarkable. This actually happens to anyone who becomes filled with Krishna consciousness. He loses his interest in the material world. Just like the calves didn't want milk any longer, their greatest attachment, by the way. A devotee will not even want sex life, the greatest attachment to the material energy, any longer. As he or she becomes filled with the nectar of Govinda. Wonderful, wonderful. That means also, if you want to be a proper devotee, you must nourish yourself spiritually. Otherwise, there will reign material attachments in your heart. You can never be as a devotee without attachment. It is not possible. So if you want to lose your material attachments, you must absolutely experience the nectar of a living relationship with Krishna. It's so important. It is not something which is on the side of your sadhana. It should be your goal of your sadhana. To come somehow in the contact of Krishna. If you want it, if you start desiring this, then Lord Krishna will accept you. He will immediately accept you and become very, very happy, and he will work wonders in your life. I would like to end this little Vrindavan talk by telling you the story of a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, whom some of you know, Nakula Das Brahmachari. Have you heard about the glories of Nakula Das Brahmachari? He would do kirtans, and during the kirtans, Mahaprabhu would take possession of his body and be in his heart. What that meant is that Nakula Das Brahmachari, who was empowered by Gauranga's presence in his heart, would sing in a way which would give love of Godhead to everyone who came to his kirtans. It was known in the old time that Gauranga Mahaprabhu would appear in the kirtans of Nakula Das Brahmachari, and he would be present and distribute love of Godhead. So one day, Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, Nakula, you have pleased me so much, I will come to you and eat prasadam. Now Nakula Das Brahmachari was so renounced, he practically didn't cook for himself. So what he did is he went out into the before his house and he found one clay thing like this, a clay bowl. Then he begged from someone a little rice, put the rice in the clay bowl and the clay bowl over the fire. So when Mahaprabhu came, he came with 300 devotees. How much can go into such a clay bowl, even if it's big? Not enough for 300 devotees. Not even enough for Vipakit. But as Nakula Das Brahmachari, who was so dear to Mahaprabhu, scooped the rice out of his clay bowl, more and more rice started to fill the clay bowl, because Mahaprabhu had empowered him. My dear devotees, I'm telling you this little leela because if you fill your heart more and more with the wonderful presence of a relationship with Krishna, you will find that nothing, absolutely nothing, is missing in your life. I know some of you feel not so happy in the spiritual life. Some of you might even have one or two material attachments left in their hearts. Others might feel sad and process sad events. I want to encourage all of you to put a relationship to Krishna, or thinking of a relationship with Krishna, the one relationship in your heart, and you will see how your little bowl, your little clay bowl, will be of the heart, huh? Will be filled with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This you will find 100%. Nakula Das Brahmachari felt happy and not worried when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited himself and his 200 associates. He didn't think, oh my God, what, how will I cook for the Lord? He thought, the Lord is coming and he will take care of everything, which he did. So this is the magical time. The magical time means the time when we can think about our relationship with Krishna and how we desire that Krishna comes back into our heart. Just look a little around. I will not speak to you now. Just hear the sounds. See everything, Govardhan, and let this cure your heart. Thank you. This is really the beauty of Vrindavan. When Aarti is coming to the end in the Gopal Mandir, that's there, to your left side, another Aarti starts in the Gopinath Mandir. You look up and you see the sky. You look over the Govinda Kund and you see the lights of the ashrams. And at that time you should allow your heart to open to the deeper desires which are inside, the ultimate desires which lie there at the bottom. And you should bring these desires a little bit up, more into your consciousness, in your daily consciousness, until something happens where you can see that the things which you are an ordinary consciousness aware of, like I need to eat, I need to shower, I need to get more attention, I need this and I need that, they're called prayers, go a little bit in the background. Then you actually allow the deeper desires to make themselves known to you and become more aware of the deeper desires, you would see how the, what is it, these short-term goals, these small desires, will go in the background, and the ultimate desires, they're called Shreyas, will come in the foreground and build what is called your ideals. I really think you should make this little exercise in your life. So often we are ruled by small desires. I want to buy this, I want to have this, I want to get this much of attention, and so on. And we forget the deeper desires which are there in our hearts, but which are lying a little bit covered by the daily routine. But in Vrindavan, we can allow these deeper desires to merge to the bottom, come to the surface, and we can behold them, look at them, and make them into our immediate desire. I think it's very important to measure our lives by the desires which are in our heart. When there are small time desires, desires which connect us to the material universe, we should see if we cannot find in our heart deeper desires which connect us to Krishna's world, and then live according to this our lives. This simple meditation to replace the small desires with the big desires, not let these big desires wait to manifest themselves at the moment of death, this will really change our life and will make all the difference. Could you understand me? Yes? Krishna. Radhe, Radhe. I want to end here. Time is also there. But I thought we will just sing one more bhajan. Is this good?
Yeah.
And let the atmosphere of Vrindavan soak our consciousness. Gaura Hari, what is our bhajan, please?
Maybe at the end you can mention
that in the opposite of Nakulata's Brahmachari, here Baba had cooked a lot for a small amount of devotee and whoever wants to get prasadam also.